Good evening and a very happy Independence Day to all our viewers. It's a proud day for us to remember our freedom struggle and those who fought for it as we celebrate 75 years of India's independence. But as always, it's a great opportunity to also take a reality check, to do a fact check of several key schemes announced by the government, by the Prime Minister over the last few years on Independence Day, and whether the government has delivered on the promises made, or is Independence Day only about making promises? Later on the show, I'll be joined by Professor Anita Faf, Netaji Subhash Chandra Bose's daughter. She makes an appeal on India's 75th year to bring back her father's ashes, which have been stored in the Renkoji Temple in Japan for all of these decades. But first, Prime Minister Narendra Modi, leading the celebrations for 75 years of independence today, set all of us a series of goals for the next 25 years, asserting that he is the first Prime Minister born after independence to address the nation from the Red Fort. He invoked the Mahatma and Nehru, India's first Prime Minister.
पहला प्राण अब देश बड़े संकल्प लेकर के ही चलेगा, बहुत बड़े संकल्प लेकर के चलना होगा, और वो बड़ा संकल्प है विकसित भारत। अब उससे कुछ कम नहीं होना चाहिए, बड़ा संकल्प। दूसरा प्राण है किसी भी कोने में हमारे मन के भीतर, हमारे आदतों के भीतर गुलामी का एक भी अंश अगर भी अभी भी है तो उसको किसी भी हालत में बचने नहीं देना। अब शत प्रतिशत सैकड़ों साल की गुलामी ने जहां हमें झकर कर रखा है, हमारे मनोभाव को बांध करके रखा हुआ है, हमारी सोच में विकृतियां पैदा करके रखी है, हमें गुलामी की छोटी चीज भी कहीं नजर आती है, हमारे भीतर नजर आती है, हमारे आसपास नजर आती है, हमें उससे मुक्ति पानी ही होगी। ये हमारा दूसरी प्राण शक्ति है। तीसरी प्राण शक्ति, हमें हमारी विरासत पर गर्व होना चाहिए, हमारी विरासत के प्रति, क्योंकि यही विरासत है जिसने कभी भारत को स्वर्णिम काल दिया था, और यही विरासत है जो समन्वय को अनुकूल परिवर्तन करने की आदत रखती है, यही विरासत है जो काल बाह्य छोड़ती रही है, नित्य नूतन स्वीकारती रही है, और इसलिए इस विरासत के प्रति हमें गर्व होना चाहिए। चौथा प्राण, वो भी उतना ही महत्वपूर्ण है, और वो है एकता और एकजुटता। 130 करोड़ देशवासियों में एकता, न कोई अपना न कोई पराया, एकता की ताकत एक भारत श्रेष्ठ भारत के सपनों के लिए हमारा चौथा प्राण है। और पांचवा प्राण है नागरिकों का कर्तव्य, जिसमें प्रधानमंत्री भी बाहर नहीं होता है, मुख्यमंत्री भी बाहर नहीं होता है, वो भी नागरिक है। नागरिकों का कर्तव्य, ये हमारे आने वाली 25 साल के सपनों को पूरा करने के लिए एक बहुत बड़ी प्राण शक्ति है।
All right, so the Prime Minister is speaking about the role of citizens, what the expectation is from each and every one of us. But I think there are also questions which need to be asked on what the expectation of citizens are as far as the promises made by the Prime Minister and whether the government is able to actually implement that. Because year after year, we hear so many schemes being announced, fantastic schemes, wonderful schemes. But has this government been able to deliver on that? So this is a fact check on a couple of key schemes which have been announced. Joining us now, Shama Mohammed of the Congress, Jasmine Shah of the Aam Aadmi Party, Alok Vats of the BJP, and Geeta Bhatt joins us as well. Thank you all very much for being with us. So I think an interesting way of doing this would be to actually go point by point. So let's bring up one of the big schemes identified by the government, the promise of housing for all by 2022. Now, the reality of this is only 50% of sanctioned houses have been completed, right? The source of this information, the Ministry of Housing. So, Alok Vats, is this not a problem? One of the fundamental schemes announced by the government several years back, only 50% of the sanctioned houses have been completed. And as we go down this list, you'll see there are lots of other plans which are half done. A couple of plans which are very good, but not this. Isn't that a problem for us?
Tom, it is not a problem. This is an ongoing process and it is continuously being built. So, and there are some hiccups because of availability of land, and there are sometimes the other type of hiccups. But the process is on and it will be completed in due course of time. It is going on a rapid scale, and people are being benefited heavily because of this scheme. Not only this, there are other schemes also.
Okay, we'll talk about the other schemes in a moment. I've got a list. Shama Mohammed, is that response okay for you? That look, there may be hiccups, but it's underway.
Vishnu, when I heard the speech today, I felt like it was a stuck tape recorder going on and on. It's the same thing we hear every year. Now, not only housing, but isn't the farmer's income supposed to double in 2022? Isn't everybody, what the economy was supposed to be 5 trillion? We were supposed to have...
So let me interrupt you and bring up a graphic and then continue with your point. You mentioned farmer's income. That's actually the next point I wanted to mention. So let's bring up that graphic on farmer's income. What was the promise? The promise was doubling the income of farmers by 2022, with 2016 being the base. What is the reality? The income of farmers has not been doubled. The average farmer's income in 2014, 6,426 rupees. The average farmer's income in 2021, 10,218 rupees. This is the NSSO report of nominal incomes. Shama, carry on with your point.
Yeah, so he mentioned a 5 trillion economy, which of course we do not see. He also said there would be a GDP of 9 to 10%. He also mentioned that every Indian will have a bank account, life insurance, accident insurance, pension and retirement planning services by 2022. He would provide irrigation to all farms with improved on-farm water efficiency. And there would not be any air pollution, burning of farm residue, crop residue will stop. I mean, these are all the promises. By 2022, Indian railway safety standards will be such that nobody will ever die in a train accident. And of course, the bullet train, the Mumbai Ahmedabad bullet train. So multiple promises, many promises, but nothing has been kept. And what he does is he does diversionary tactics. Every time he comes down, he's put it 2047. And he says they should not be, nobody should be servile to anybody. He brought in dynastic politics. He brought in corruption. So all the things diverting from the most important issue today, which is price rise. That is something which he's not talking about. What is he not talking about is employment, 2 crore jobs per year. But forget that, we have just 7 lakh jobs according to a reply by the parliament. They asked how many youth applied for jobs from 2014 to now. It seems it was 22 crore youth and they could only give 7 lakh jobs up till now. So, I mean, where are the promises?
Okay.
What has happened to each
Okay, Shama, hold your thought, because you mentioned lots of points. I'll come back to you. Geetaji, would you like to respond? You know, she's named 4 or 5 points and we've got statistics on many of these.
First of all, a very happy Independence
a
Day.
A very happy Independence Day to you as well, Geeta, and your family.
And it's very significant. There's an echo, if you can please get it corrected.
We'll get that echo fixed. Go ahead, yeah.
Irrespective of how we perceive issues. But the point here is that, please, if you can get the echo corrected, point here is that, Vishnuji, one is completely forgetting that more than 2 years have gone in the COVID circumstances across the world and in the country, because of which there could have been certain delays in projects. But the point is that the cabinet has already approved of more than 122 lakh houses up to 31st December 2024. And it is not that these projects are not being funded by the government. But it is very unfortunate to see that some of the very fundamental issues that have been rattling us as a society and in our governance, that is nepotism and corruption, is something which is being absolutely sidelined by the spokesperson of Congress Party. Maybe because that is, you know, a party which has been battled by
I understand the point you're mentioning about corruption,
no,
all of that.
But these schemes have not been done.
How can the Prime Minister of our country, to the nation, from the ramparts of Red Fort in the past, make promises when so many key schemes haven't been lived? I mean, where is the accountability?
Post 2014, when the Prime Minister had come and he had spoken for the first time from the ramparts of Red Fort,
yes,
he had said that I will come every time I shall come to the podcast. Now there could be issues, there are challenges, there is doubt about it. But the point is that without acknowledging and giving credit to various things which have been
I will do that as well. Because there are two schemes which have done brilliantly.
4 crore beneficiaries in Mudra Yojana are already there. 18 lakh crores of money has been disbursed to people who actually needed it. And today many of them were present.
Okay.
You know, it was an acknowledgement. People from walks of life, hawkers, you know.
Alright, no, so the point that you're making is that don't miss the big picture. There is help which is coming, and a lot of, I don't think anybody is doubting that. But I think it's the promises which have been made, which aren't being realized. For example, another one, and I'll bring Jasmine Shah into this. The promise of a bullet train by 2022, it was a headline everywhere. The government now says that the first bullet train will be by 2026. And I'll give you another example. Anemia prevalence. Right? And this is something, it's a health issue, it affects millions in our country. It's far above government targets. The aim was to reduce anemia prevalence by 3 percentage points between 2018 and 2022. The reality, according to the National Family Health Survey, is that anemia prevalence has increased in all categories from 2016 to 2021. So again, Jasmine Shah, glass half empty or glass half full?
Vishnu, I don't think they've started filling the glass in the first place. And, you know, two things really stand out from today's PM address. I'm not going to repeat all the things that Shama said. She perfectly summarized each and every commitment that the Prime Minister Modi made for 2022. They, not only have they missed it, he has very conveniently forgotten to even address why they have missed it and what the new deadline is. So clearly, today, it has become clear to the nation that there is zero credibility left with the Prime Minister's word. He has in fact proven to be the most lying Prime Minister in the history of independent India. Remember the fanfare with which these schemes were launched. Very precise timelines were given. But today, when the year of reckoning has come, 2022 has come, he's just moved the goalpost to 2047. And what did he commit for 2047? If you actually look at the speech, it is nothing but a pep talk. There is no concrete promise made. On the other hand, Vishnu, you should look at what Chief Minister Arvind Kejriwal in Delhi spoke. He made a very concrete and a passionate speech talking about that as a country, we need to set a 5-year goal that, you know, education and healthcare. We know that if the country has to advance, agar ye developed country banane ka sapna hame saakar karna hai, then it will need to happen if we provide free but quality healthcare and education. We are doing that in Delhi, but can we not as a country say that in 5 years we'll do this in the length and breadth of the country? The Prime Minister could not even make that promise. So it shows the hollowness of this entire development model that BJP keeps talking about. And frankly, there is absolutely no credibility left today, after today's speech in front of the nation, of whatever Prime Minister Modi says.
I'm going to get Mr. Watts to respond. But before that, I want to point out two schemes where the government has delivered. For example, The Prime Minister and the government had said in the past that no part of India should remain in the dark. Rural electrification and urban electrification was a must. According to government data, 99.93% of Indian households have been electrified. The source, the Ministry of Power. That's something that's very positive. Another one, the Ujjwala Yojana's targets have been met. 9.3 crore connections have been released under the Ujjwala Yojana. The source of this information, the Ministry of Petroleum and Gas. So, Alok Vats, these are two examples of something that has been achieved, and these are great achievements. But if you look at the number of schemes where nothing has actually happened or they're incomplete, it far outnumbers the areas where what the Prime Minister has promised, you know, has been achieved.
Please, Tom, thanks for highlighting what we have achieved. But yes, there is still much more to be done, because India, once we picked up the gauntlet, India was in much deep problem, and we are trying to salvage it. On top of this, what the political analyst said, I just want to repeat it in a very few sentence, that the COVID attack for 2 years, that, you know, everything went in a different mode. You see, we had to combat, we had to provide for food, we had to provide for oxygen, we had to provide for medicine. So all this took time as well as the money, which went diverted into other modes. And then on top of that, the world economy is in shackles. And this is evidently known to everybody. What is the position of America today? They are in double-digit inflation. The same goes with other countries. On top of that, the Russian and Ukraine war. And besides that, the prices of those things which are heavily imported by us, on which we are dependent, so to say, the gas, butane and propane.
Right.
Then
all right, so I take that point that international factors, the outbreak of COVID, etc.
Stand alone with what is happening.
So we need
the world
to understand what's happening around us. Shama Mohammed, last word to you before I move on. Is that not an important explanation that yes, COVID is an international crisis? There are wars being fought internationally, Ukraine, for example. So whatever the government promises needs to be seen in a larger context. There is no ill will.
Two things on that. What was our GDP before COVID? 3.2. Let's not forget that. So when did it start? All this unemployment, all these issues started before COVID. Let's understand that.
Yes.
Then you keep saying the international issues. Let's remember 2008. America was crushed in 2008. The global economic crisis. Was India crushed? No, because we had a government which could protect. And also about the Ujjwala scheme, which you mentioned, it is 7.2 crores have got a single refill, and 4.2 crore people could not even have a refill. They just bought the gas. They could not refill their gas. 7.2 crore people could refill once.
So it's hollow, is what you're saying.
Mrs. Bhatt spoke about corruption. She's right. Jay Shah's corruption. When Kusum Enterprises in 1 year made 50,000 and in the second year they went from 50,000 to 80 crore, the company owned by Jay Shah, and they closed it. Nepotism, Jay Shah being the BCCI secretary. Why is he the BCCI secretary? What is the basis of him being
all right,
the BCCI?
All right, one sec. Let's talk about these schemes. Shama, you're just sort of moving on to other issues, but Geeta Bhatt, would you like to quickly respond to the key issues of the various schemes?
I would quickly just try to remind that, you know, the Young India Limited case, if Shama Mohammed could actually put forth that, you know, the way they have been, you know, the Congress party has tried to misuse their own funds and their leadership, which is in question, they first need to actually come out and answer that. And Mr. Jasmine Shah, Aam Aadmi Party has...
Is Mr. Jay Shah being questioned?
Seven super specialty hospitals in 2020-21. In 6 months' time, Delhi people are still waiting for it, even today. So, if they could put forth that what their government is trying to do with the money also to their welfare scheme, we do not know about their welfare scheme.
All right. Okay, so questions being asked everywhere, different governments make different promises, but I think what we've been, one sec, running short on time, I need to wrap this up.
Vishnu, one last thing. Please, Anandita Bhatt,
There was no electricity in the president's village.
He has said
there was no
about
electricity in the president's village.
Okay, one sec. All of you wait. I need to leave this over here because I need to move on to another important issue. There is no point in shouting. Geetaji, you've made your point. I need to wrap this up. I need to move on to something which I think concerns all of us on Netaji Subhash Chandra Bose. And we have a wonderful guest with us. Next on the show, on the occasion of Independence Day, I'm joined by a very special guest, Professor Anita Faf, Netaji Subhash Chandra Bose's daughter. She makes an appeal on India's 75th year to bring back her father's ashes, which have been stored in the Renkoji Temple in Japan for all of these decades. Anita Bose Faf joins us.
History of our national struggle with histories of similar struggles in other parts of the world, you will realize that we in India have lacked one thing and one thing alone. We need strength and organization whereby we can meet force with force. I am confident that with the help of my countrymen in East Asia, I shall be able to organize such a gigantic force.
Professor Anita Faf joins us. Thank you, ma'am. Wonderful to speak to you once again. And I think this is the point that needs to be repeated. So I'll ask you a question we've discussed in the past. Why has it taken so many decades? Why in so many decades has every successive government in India not been willing to bring back your father's ashes to India? Why?
I think the main reason is that there was a controversy in the amongst the public and also within my family. Some of my relatives and also many of the followers of Netaji were very upset when they got the news of his death in 1945. And these were sort of very unsettled times. It was just the end of World War II. And people were uncertain whether he really had died when the report came, which was in the, I think on the 22nd of August 1945, the news came that he had died as a consequence of a plane crash in on the 18th of August 1945. And if we keep in mind that on the 15th, Japan capitulated, and the Tenno, the emperor, made a speech to his people for the first time in history, and this was a totally traumatic situation. And those who really had high hopes for Netaji, they were not people who wished him ill or anything, said, well, maybe once again he has made an escape, because he had very adventurous escapes before that. And so for a while this kept on as an uncertainty. And even later on, when we became privy to the results of the investigations of his death in 1945 and 46, I mean, they had been classified for many years, then some people sort of kept on hoping that he might have survived. Of course, now we know even if he had survived, which I believe he did not, he would be long dead, because this is the 125th birth anniversary of Netaji. So I think it was this uncertainty of the time that also made all the governments hesitant to take a step in that direction, because they felt they had nothing to gain.
And so, ma'am, sure. And ma'am, my primary question, and this is to all of our viewers tonight, as a daughter, what is your appeal to the government of India? Why do you think it is a national tragedy that Netaji's ashes are not in the country of his birth?
We all know that Netaji had been a very dedicated leader in the independence struggle, and his country was his greatest love, and there was nothing he wished for more than seeing his country independent, and of course to live in an independent India. The tragedy is that even after India became independent, even if you could say under circumstances that he would not have approved of, that is the partition, he was not granted the boon to live in free India. And at least I think bringing back his remains would sort of be a homecoming.
It would indeed, ma'am. And hopefully, hopefully that day will arrive when those ashes do come back to India after a DNA test, of course, which you welcome. You welcome a DNA test because you believe the science is strong, it is reliable, and that will indisputably prove one way or the other whether those ashes at the Renkoji Temple near Tokyo are indeed his ashes, right? DNA testing?
It should be possible to, with the advanced methods that we have today, that even though after cremation, bones are charred and it is difficult to extract DNA, but I think the techniques are advanced enough that today we have a chance that we might get a DNA test. And I personally don't need it for my own conviction, but I think those who had their doubts but who are amenable to rational arguments and to scientific proof, at least they should be convinced that these are his remains and that they can bring him home
where he belongs. It's wonderful speaking to you, and I hope someone's listening, and I hope sooner than later this dream, not just your dream, a dream for so many Indians is realized. Thank you, ma'am, very much.
Thank you
and
very
a happy
much.
Independence Day to you, ma'am.
Happy Independence Day and Jai Hind to all of you.
Thank you, ma'am. Jai Hind. Well, just a couple of comments which have come in on our previous discussion, the state of the economy, whether the government is doing enough, whether the promises which have been made by the Prime Minister in the past are being realized or not. Nishi writes in saying, are we upgrading or downgrading? Nikita says, the demands of nationalism and particularly hyper-nationalism are not always congruent with the rights of citizens in a democracy. A couple of important thoughts to leave us. A very happy Independence Day to you and your family from all of us here. Goodbye. Jai Hind.